Hello, welcome back to part two of Couch Counselor and Life Choices and the million jobs that I had. I ended up finishing it up around about when I got a job at the Lion and they were the chef and stuff like that. Right, yeah. That job were brilliant. It were absolutely amazing. Although the hierarchy, you know, the landlord and landlady were good. They were fair. Strong, firm, but fair. The landlord ended up screwing over the pub and stealing a load of money and splitting up with the landlady, Julie, she was called. I know a lot of landladies called Julie, actually. It's weird. Anyway, so we with the chef and we was working, and one specific memory of being a chef at the Aldred Lion in Winmore, was Christmas time. We had to work Christmas, and Christmas Eve was a long, long shift. We were there from like 11 o'clock in the morning until about 11 at night, 12 at, you know, midnight. And there was a dude that actually used to go in the pub and sell bottles of liquor, and we got a bottle of Pernod. And it's like, fuck it, if we're gonna fucking work Christmas Eve, we're gonna enjoy it. So we was drinking this Pernod, mixing it with all sorts of crap, and we had this thing called the Merry Chef. It's like a massive combi oven sort of thing. We put some sprouts in that and set it to about a minute, and we cooked this few sprouts in it, opened it up, and this plume of fucking what I could explain or describe as to like something the Joker would use in a Batman film. This is a plume of like green smoke came out, and it stunk of shit. It was like sewage. Oh, it were awful, but very, very fun. We laughed our ass off, and you know, it kind of seeped into the pub, and it's like massive stink bombs went off. Anyway, yeah, the next day, the landlord said, right, we're all wearing thongs. I'm like, you can fuck off if I'm wearing thong in a kitchen. He turned up in a thong, which were hilarious. But yeah, you know, like when you're really focused on work, you kind of miss a lot of other stuff. And, you know, the partner that I was with at the time, she started seeing a few people from that place behind me back. I was working long hours and she was like working on the bar and stuff like that. Or she had a job there, waitressing. Yeah. But you know what? That was that. She's actually grown up now a lot, and she's got kids too. One of the people that actually used to go drinking in there. So it's funny how that turned out. Right, okay. So after the Lion, I ended up getting a job at Subway. Again, if you're going to do a job and interviews and stuff like that, you gotta boss it, you gotta own it, you gotta make sure to the employer that you know exactly what you're on about. And a really good tip, actually, if you're gonna go for an interview and they said any questions, you ask them, say, what sort of person are you looking for? Or straight off the bat, if they go, right, nice to turn up, Mr. Thomas, sit down, have you got any questions? And say, yeah, straight off the bat, not how much is the job worth or is there any bonuses. Say, what sort of person are you looking for? Because then off the bat, you know how that interview is going to go, because you can put it into your hand and say, right, okay, well, this guy's looking for this sort of person, so I'm going to mold myself to be that sort of person that he wants. Because if I remember correctly, he goes, right, any questions? I says, yeah, what sort of person are you looking for? And he goes, well, we want someone that's really flexible. We want someone that's very positive and very polite and used to working in a fast environment. Now, I've worked in a bar, so I'm very positive and polite, so I can use that. It's all techniques and skills that I've had in my previous jobs that could get me this job in this one. It's like, yeah, I'm a very people person. I like talking to people and making them feel good. Working to time frames, it's like, yeah, I used to work in a really, really busy factory where you had an X amount of things that needed to be done by a certain time, and we was just on it. We was on the ball, we were cracking it, we were smashing it. And he's like, right, end of the interview, thank you. We've got everyone that we need, but we'll keep your paperwork. I'm like, yeah, fine, that's cool. Anyway, I went home that day, feeling positive about the interview, but really deflated at the fact that he said, right, they've got everyone that they need, but I'm a backup. So I went home, and I went to bed, had a bit of a nana nap, and then I got a phone call. Oh no, he had my address anyway. It was only up the road where I had the interview, and I had a knock on the door, and I opened the bedroom window, and I'm like, hello. He goes, hey up, Mr. Thomas. Just wondering, do you want the job? I'm like, yes. I said, when do I start? He goes, now? I said, right, yeah, give me 5 minutes. I'll just throw some clothes on. And anyway, went up to work. Sit down. Sit. Bed. The dog playing around. It's very giddy. We got a puppy. It's a border collie. Anywho, so ended up like, it was like a franchise business, and it was opening up, and like we was just finalizing, finishing off. And the guy who owned the franchise of that shop, of that particular Subway, he was amazing. He always had the time for you and things like that. And what he did is he got someone, like a spokesperson from the Subway company, come over. And he got it all wrong, you know, like morale boost and things like that. One thing you don't say is, right, first and foremost, I'm not your friend. I'm not your mate. I'm your boss. Yeah, okay. You can be firm, you can be fair, you can be friendly, get the morale up, and say, look, I'm willing to go the extra mile. Are you willing to go the extra mile? And if you don't, if you slack, I will keep you on your toes. That's a good way of doing that. That's a really good way of doing that. Not, I'm not your friend. I'm not your mate. I'm not your pal. I'm your boss. That's shit. That sucks. Anyway, so I had that job. Ended up getting my partner that was seeing other people in the Lion a job there. We won't talk about relationships or all like that. And I also got another friend a job there. Oh, and also the decorating guy who I did martial arts with, he had a job there as well. And, you know, and we were killing it, and, you know, within the first 3 weeks, I was promoted to supervisor, which is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. But one of the friends that got a job there, he stiffed me up good and proper, because he looked where all cameras were and stuff, and I was on the close, so I was counting down the money and stuff like that, and this dude fucking ended up shafting me. He fucking robbed the place, you know, and I got the blame for it. So yeah, that were a pretty dark time. That were a kind of downfall in my life, because then I didn't have a job and I couldn't pay rent and got evicted and stuff like that. So I had to move, and I had to flat share with a friend called James, actually. And, you know, it was really good. It was really nice. And in that place, I ended up getting a job as a baker. Again, what sort of person are you looking for? And they're like, well, we're wanting someone that can be here at 2 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, yeah, fine. We're like an apprenticeship sort of thing, but not an apprenticeship. We were like a full job, but he wanted someone to take over him or his missus, because they were planning to have a child or something like that. So I was doing that and learning how to bake bread. Never baked in my life before. Like I said, I was a chef and things like that. But a baker I was not. And that was hard work. That was really hard work. So getting up, walking. I mean, again, it was like half an hour away from where I lived, so I walked it. 2 o'clock in the morning. In that time, while I was working there, the partner that I was with ended up sleeping with a friend of mine. Yeah. And yeah, that didn't happen so well. So I split up with her, but then my drummer literally lived behind the bakery that I was working at. And he's like, hey, I can give you a place to live, sort of thing. So I ended up just working and going there. And obviously in my downward spiral of splitting up, I hit the bottle really hard. I was like on a bottle of whiskey a day. Whatever beer, whatever money I had was just going on alcohol, drinking away. My band were doing really good at the time. Really good. This one night, it's like we had a gig in Hull and didn't get back until 1:30 in the morning. But I had work at 2:00. We was drunk out of us fucking skulls. It was a great gig. And I laid down. And he's like, Matt, you got work in like 30 minutes. I'm like, yeah, just give me 5 minutes. Anyway, I just slept. I slept the whole fucking day and then I got fired. So that's that job there. And from that one, I ended up getting another pub chef job over in Leeds City Centre. Brilliant job. I met some good friends there. And there was this one dude who... It was like assistant manager, student. I think he was called Simon. He were a right laughing. Me and him were like bros. It was cool. Because whenever the landlord and landlady weren't there, it's like, right, we're off on holiday, Matt. Where do you want to go? I says, what do you mean? He goes, I'm feeling of going to Jamaica. So I'm like, okay. And he comes in with a Malibu and Coke. I'm like, ah, I get you. And we just used to get pissed while we were working. The kitchen were tiny. It was like a shoebox. It was really, really tiny. But yeah, I got on really well with the guys that worked there. And the pub wasn't doing as good. You know, city centres, there's hot spots and like there's not hot spots. So yeah, it was kind of struggling financially a bit. So I got laid off and I ended up getting a job in another kitchen, which is up in Student area. But the pub was a really run-down old pub. And that's when Metallica came out, actually. You know, Death Magnetic. That was brilliant, that. By this time... Oh, yeah. The people... my drummer's house, they were moving. And obviously, they couldn't take me with me. And I think this... No, yeah, they did move. I don't know where they moved to, but I had to move out. And I was like up creek without a paddle. So my good friend Tank, I had a word with him. He's like, hey, why don't you come and crash at mine for a while? And that were in Old Farnley, that. Yeah, I've lived here, there and everywhere. That were in Old Farnley. So I ended up living there and then going over to this job. And that's when I first heard The Day That Never Comes, and it's a fucking brilliant track. It's been a long time since Metallica brought a song out, and it came on, and it was just amazing. But that job was not for me. I just didn't click with the people that owned and ran that place. It just wasn't for me. So I was out of job for a good while, and I met someone, which is my little boy's mum. And... going over Christmas time, with literally no money. I didn't have no ID even to sign on or anything like that. You know, get benefits from the state or, you know, the government. So I started learning tattooing as well while I was at the Lion and Subway. And I was just dabbling in it. So whatever little tattoos I did, I was surviving on that sort of money. But I needed to get a job, and it was around Christmas time, so I ended up getting a job for this really reputable fish and chip shop that was opening up in the White Rose Shopping Centre. It's like a mall to people in America. I was training up to be a fish fryer, but something happened. I think something happened with my dad. I'm not sure. I think he had a bit of a scare, and I couldn't turn up to work. And this guy was Greek, and he was a proper cock. Proper cock. And it was Christmas Eve, and I turned up. He goes, don't want you. I says, what are you on about? I says, the reason why I want in yesterday or the day before is because